podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Leicester Till I Die TV. Watch and subscribe on YouTube and listen on your podcast platform.
Oh, Matt Elliott here.
Hi, Alan Smith here.
Hey guys, Ian Hume here.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here.
Be sure to watch
Chris and Leicester Till I Die TV
for all the latest Leicester City news and information.
You can also subscribe on YouTube and various social media channels
for the latest updates and news on Leicester City Football Club.
Come on, you foxes.
Back of the net.
It didn't happen in 49, 61, 63 or 69 when they reached the final. But the class of 2021 have delivered. Leicester City are FA Cup winners at last and are history makers at Wembley.
A modern day football miracle. They have blown their rivals away. They have blown us all away in truth. Premier League champions 2016, the amazing Leicester City!
Till I Die TV, your first choice for everything Leicester City. Tune in and join in now.
And now, here's your host.
Right, Chris.
All right there, good evening. How the devil are we all? Happy after last night, hopefully. It's all to play for in the second leg next Thursday. I have already explained to tonight's guest that these are European games we're playing on Thursday. So just so he knows, just so he knows. It's Leicester Till I Die TV. Catch us on Facebook, Instagram and Twitter. And if you're watching on YouTube, or if you're not, please get over to YouTube. I want to say Leicester Till I Die TV. And please do what it says there, which is subscribe to the channel, like the video, and please set the notification bells. We do up to 8 shows a week, so you don't miss one. It would be a miss of me. I mean, because we are playing Spurs on Sunday. We have got a very nice Spurs fan to come in. So it would really be remiss of me if I didn't start with this tonight.
It's time for the Daily Spurs.
Indeed, and it is currently 14 years, 60 days, 1 hour, 35 minutes, and 37 seconds. And it's getting longer every season. Good evening, Simon. Welcome along. How the devil are you?
Chris, thanks for having me on, matey.
I bet that's the best introduction to you've ever had on a show.
What's that? I missed it, Chris.
Did you really?
The blank.
I can repeat that for you if you want me to. Welcome along. And we mustn't forget, before we actually bring my co-host in, Simon, Premier Hotspur TV, thanks for joining us. Where can people find you?
Yeah, we haven't been streaming a lot lately due to work, but me and Matt have been doing a couple of things. We will be get back at it. It's at Premier Hotspur TV, guys. Me and Matt, we cover all sorts. So we're on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube and Facebook. So get over there at Premier Hotspur TV, guys.
Yeah, brilliant. I'll say thanks very much for joining us. And, of course, the man who needs no attention. No introduction, I should say. He likes the attention. No introduction whatsoever. Is, of course, the wise old owl himself. Craig. Good evening, Craig.
Good evening, Chris. Good evening, Simon.
Hello, everyone.
How the devil are you, Craig? I must still be happy after last night.
I can say, if you saw in the piece I did afterwards, it tinged with disappointment because I thought we could have got away with the win. But I'd said before, if we have parity going into the second leg, then I fancy us to go and do the job over there.
Yeah, I mean, we did it with PSV. The pressure's going to be on Roma now.
Yeah.
Because they're going to be the favourites. They're going to come at us. So, and hopefully by next week, you know, Jamie Vardy will have had maybe a few minutes this weekend. Certainly, he's obviously played 70-odd minutes yesterday. So he should be a little bit more match fit. And did you see, I don't know if you saw it at all when you got in, the interview after they were interviewing Brendan Rodgers?
I didn't, but I have heard that, he interrupted Brendan, didn't he, to talk about a bottle of wine he'd bought him.
Yes, he did. It was a very expensive bottle of wine, not like you and me going down to Lidl.
It's very rare that you hear Mourinho and wine in the same sentence, isn't it?
It is. Who would have thought, really? Yeah. Who would have thought, you know? He looks more like a Prosecco man to me, but... sorry there. Hang on. Let me just bring him back in. Sorry, Simon. That is probably bringing back very bad memories for you. Seeing that face. Really.
No, not really. Not really, Chris, because we're happy with what's going on with Antonio Conte at Tottenham. Slowly but surely, he is building a team. Hopefully, Chris, we can get over this 14 years, whatever you want to say, about this studio of Spurs winning a trophy. And just, I think we will do.
I mean, just a point on that, you say slowly but surely. Surely he's not going to be there longer than 2 years.
I think he is, Craig. I think
he is, mate.
I think he 18-month he signed on for. I think he only signed the 18-month to test the water with Daniel Levy and the club, to see the direction of the club, where they want to go and where can they match ambitions off Conte. And it looks like we are slowly but surely, Levy is caving in to a manager we know that can deliver where he's ever, every team he's been to, he delivered. And we said this with Mourinho, but I think with Conte being, I think this guy is just, he's just different class. He really is to Jose Mourinho. And
I think Conte's top level manager. It's just the fact that he rarely seems to hang around longer than 2 years. But as you say, if you can match his ambition.
The thing is, he's only come in the back end of last year. So he's only had half a season. And look where he's taken us. We were literally well out of the top four race, was 10th or 11th when he come. And now we're in it with 5 games to play. I mean, it's all to play for. So he has done miracles with a team that really, some of these players, I don't know how he's doing it, but he's doing it. So it needs a big shake in the summer. But I think overall, I'm a happy Spurs fan. There's not many Spurs fans are happy with what's going on at the minute, but I'm just a patient man.
The rumours are, of course, that he could be off to Gay Paris very soon. And possibly Pochettino coming back the other way. I don't know how true that is.
No, it's shot right down. They are absolute fake news. It's nonsense. He's come out and said it's nothing. He's
clear Donald Trump then, Craig. let's say a hello to a few people. Hiya, Rennie. How the devil are you? Nice to see you again. We need to rest Leicester squad. So the fit against Roma, we'll come on to that a bit later. TM, good evening. How are you? You missed the Daily Spurs, TM. I'm sure you come in late on purpose, just as long as you've got a note. Evening, guys. Hope you are well. How could I not be with you tonight? Thanks for the... you did see it. Thanks for the reminder. Scott, hello. How the devil are you? Welcome along. Hi, Spencer, evening, Chris. I went to the ground, to the game last night. Should have gone to Specsavers. When you're smiling before the kickoff was awesome. I haven't yet seen that because I was doing the watch along, but I couldn't have the sound on. I mean, Craig, everybody's been screaming for that to be like played regularly. And become you'll never walk alone, if you like.
Yeah, I'm just not sure that version
is the one to go with, to be honest, because it's a little bit out of tempo with the way it's like every football stadium ever where they've tried to sing the national anthem and it never keeps up with the music. It's always finished well before. So yeah. That version of the song is a little bit too slow for me, and he goes off kilter a little bit. So I'm behind the sentiment. It would be nice to have a song. I'm just thinking maybe it can be re-recorded in a bit of a simpler form. Just
which,
so
which way was it? Jersey Buds version?
Yeah.
Was it? Right, yeah. He did do one with the team, though, didn't he?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm going to say the one that he did last night was the one that I remember him doing, and it's just a little bit overproduced for what a football stadium needs, I think.
Yes, yeah. Just say hello to KDH. Hello, how the devil are you? Welcome along. Andrew, Roma didn't look anything special. It didn't, to be honest with you. Andrew, Kane will be gone next year. We seem to be saying that every year, though, Andrew, and he's still hanging about like a fart in a spacesuit. You can't get rid of him. Dan, good evening. How are you? Just popping in to say hi to all before I do my preview of 7. Good luck with it, mate. And I hope your new co-host goes well. Don't forget me. Don't be dropping me just like that just because you've got a new co-host, mate. remember, I got a prenup off you. Don't forget that. Chester, how the devil are you? Welcome along. And everybody's just sort of saying everybody hello to everybody else. What's the trumpet song before a Premier League game at the KP? That's the Foxhorn Gallop, isn't it?
Post-horn Gallop, yeah.
Post-horn Gallop, yes.
Post-horn Gallop, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. That even came up on some quiz show on TV that I remember.
It did. It did. But yes, I mean, that's not going to stir the crowd, really, is it? You know, but I mean, we've mentioned Conte there, and I did this as my promo for tonight's show. It to me when I did it, I looked at it and I thought, and I'll come to you first, Simon. That kind of sums the two guys up. They're completely different types of manager. I don't think I've ever seen... I mean, Conte looks like he's wet himself there with excitement. You know, he's really getting into it. And yet, Brendan Rodgers sits there, applause, makes a few notes. There are different managers, aren't they? Are you happy with sort of the Conte style?
Yeah, we had it with Jose. Jose first when he came in, and he was on the touchline, but he was getting more deeper and deeper and deeper in that seat when it went wrong. But Conte's got it going again. He's, as you're right, Chris, he's never. I don't see this guy sit down. Seriously, he's always on that sideline, barking orders. And these are two completely different managers. I mean, Brendan comes with. Very cool, very calm and collective. But Conte is very more of an aggressive manager, isn't it? He just wants everything from his players, and everything from the minute one to minute 90. And that's what he's improved in Tottenham. We've in our energy levels, we have literally gone beyond 90 minutes, never stopped going. I mean, so. But yeah. But we'll see on Sunday.
We will. Craig, I mean, we know Brendan's no Martin O'Neill, is he? Do you not wish sometimes you just show a little bit of passion and stop impersonating a seal?
Oh, definitely. I think I've said it on here many occasions that I'd like to see him show a little bit more passion, give the players a kick up the backside now and again. You know, it doesn't seem to matter what they do. He'll clap them for it, as you say. like you would for your kids if they fell over in school play.
It's like the Sunday league, you know, with your 6-year-old children, isn't it? You know.
It is. So they are very, very different. And I think there's times that you need, you know, both that approach. You know, yeah. I think it's few and far between. You know, it's only the top managers can bridge that line, really. You know, Klopp and Pep, I think we've both seen both sides of their personality, that they will try and nurture players, particularly younger players, but they will also ball out anybody who he doesn't think is doing the job. So, you know, they're the elite, though. But I, as I said before, I do rate Conte. I think he's a great manager. And I think the only thing is whether you can keep that up for more than 2-3 seasons before the players get a little bit fed up of just being balled out all the time. Because he does need to be able to show both sides, I think, and nurture some youngsters coming through. But and touching on Kane, I think Kane's missed his boat, to be honest. I think he'll stay there now. I can't see, you know, if Man City get Haaland, there's no place for him. And I can't see anybody else coming for him, to be honest. The only outsider is if Man U come in for him. That they want a figurehead and they throw lots of money at him. But apart from that, I can't see him moving on now.
No. I mean, that's type of manager. Certainly the Alex Ferguson kicking tea around the changing room. You can't really get away with it these days. The players will be up H&R straight away. But Simon, I mean, he came in, he turned the job down. Obviously, you know, when at the end of last season, well, start of this season, he didn't come. You got Nuno in. It wasn't the most successful. But then again, I think it was about your sort of eighth or ninth choice. But when you did get Conte in, you correct me if I'm wrong here, but I felt he very much came in and on his terms. You know, he was like, well, you need me now more than I need you. Because let's face it, he could walk into a top job anywhere, really, couldn't he? But you know, Daniel Levy's really had to sort of doff his cap and go, yep, that's what you want. Or am I reading it wrong?
Absolutely, Chris. Absolutely. Come in straight away. These are my demands. This is what I want. If you're not matching my ambitions, that's it. I'm off. That's basically what he said. And for Chris, he didn't turn the Spurs job down in the first place. What it was, he wasn't ready. He'd just come out of a job at Inter Milan and he was emotionally attached to Inter Milan. He wasn't ready to come back into management. And that's exactly what he said as well. It's come from Conte, this. And the second time around, when we did approach him, he felt the time was right. Then he can come back into management. And you're right, Chris. He's come in and he's laid down the law to Daniel Levy and the board. Because as you said, we need him more than he needs us. You know what I mean? And he's that type, as what Craig said, he's that type of a top coach that he demands the best. He demands, like, he wants the best. He wants to win things now. And I think that's what he's trying to get over to the board.
I think it's the best managerial signing you've made in years, to be honest with you. Absolutely. I think you may well have finally got it right now. But do you think that this is what Daniel Levy needed, really? Somebody who would stand up to him and say, you know, this is what I want.
Absolutely. We thought we would get this with Jose. When Jose came in, we thought, all right, this guy, we know what Jose's like. He's not going to let Levy bully him around. But he did. I think he let Levy get away with murder, I think. But with Conte, he's just different. It's just absolutely completely different. And he's literally just let the actual club know that this is what needs to happen at the club. This is what needs to happen to win trophies. This is what you need. And let's see. Let's see if the club. And I think the club will back him. I really do. We're looking to get a number two under Paratici as a second director of football. Looking at Campos. So if we can get this guy in as well, I really do think this club will move forward next season.
Do you think your director of football will be full-time, or do you think he'll have another couple of jobs on the side, like managing Switzerland or Andorra?
Not that random.
Well, did I say that out loud? Sorry, you know. Craig, I mean, this is it's a Sunday kickoff. It's been moved back because we're still in Europe. I've seen your comment, David, and I'll come on to that in a second. I did a Spurs show earlier today, and there's three Spurs fans and myself and Brad on, and I couldn't believe that the Spurs fans were so unconvinced that Spurs were going to win this. I mean, it's a bogey team, isn't it? I mean, you know, we've not had a 0-0 since before the First World War, I don't think. And David says here, you know, it's almost like a free hit because I don't personally care what we do. And obviously I want to win. Of course I want to win. It's a football match. I want to win it. But put the kids out for all I care tomorrow. We know there's going to be a lot of changes. Let's just get it right for next Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, to be honest. You know, I'm shocked that any Spurs fan doesn't think they're going to beat us, to be honest. Mm. You know, with the fact that we've got a game coming up, a big game on Thursday, plus the fact that Kane could stay at home and he would still score. I mean, he just does it against us. It's ridiculous. His record against us is stupid, to be honest. But I think there'll be wholesale changes for us. I mean, we did it before, though, and we didn't put in too bad a performance, to be honest, because we've got more players back. I think Mendy will play, obviously, instead of Hamza, unless he plays a double pivot, but because he can't play in Europe. But
yeah,
I know we'll come on to score predictions at the end, and I know that you and I, Chris, will probably be lying through our teeth when we put our score predictions down because we can't bet against our own team. But if there was money on it, I know where it would be going.
The prediction I gave in the show earlier was completely different to the one I'm going to be saying at the end of the show, believe you me. I mean, Simon, I mean, you've got to be confident, haven't you? I mean, you know, we were talking before we came live, and in the last five games, you've won three of them. You seem to win the ones that matter. And it was like, we were like this with Arsenal for years. We just couldn't beat them. And, you know, thinking that I think there's going to be at least seven changes for me, because there has been for the last two games round our European games, and we've got the squad back to do it. But you've got to be sat there confident, haven't you?
Chris, I'm confident going to every game. I mean, some of these Spurs fans...
you never thought I'd hear a Spurs fan to say that.
I watch some of these channels and it's seriously, and they say, oh, I'm not convinced that we can beat Brighton. I'm not convinced we can beat Brentford. Mm. Come on. But I'm not disrespecting the likes of Brentford and Brighton's. Okay, we didn't get the results against them, but you've got to be confident beating these sort of teams. If you want to go for the top fours, you've got to be winning. And games like this against Leicester, no disrespect to Leicester, they're doing great under Brendan, but these are the games where if you've got to finish in the top four, you've got to win these. And I'm confident going into this one. As you said, Chris, we've got 14 goals in the last five, and most of them have come at home. I mean, we do score a lot. Kane likes get goals against Leicester, but Leicester will come, and I would not be surprised if Leicester can come and get at least a point. I mean, because
I'll take that now. I will definitely take that now.
I said that that last comment there said you can just take a massive hit, just put out the boxes and take them and wins at the end of the day.
But I mean, I think Craig. I mean, we held sort of outside hopes that, you know, we could still maybe grab that seventh place, because let's be honest with you, outside of Man City and Liverpool, no teams got any consistency whatsoever. No. And I thought, well, yeah, if we've got all our players back now, maybe we could put a little bit of a run together and get that seventh place. I think the Newcastle, Everton and Villa results have put that to bed and kicked it down the road. You've got to say, think like, well, yeah, we've got to go all out for the Europa League. The Europa Conference League.
Oh, definitely. You know, part of me thinks, you know, it'd be quite funny for Spurs to beat us, because it will build their hopes up that they can actually get fourth. So when they get pipped on the last day, you know, by Arsenal, it'd be quite amusing.
Get in there, Trey. Get in there.
But I know it's going to be. I think West Ham will drop off. Because I think, you know, they've got a big game coming up as well, so I can't see them really getting a result at the weekend. And if they lose that, the same with us. You know, it's difficult to see how it will affect them. So I think it's a two-horse race between Spurs and Arsenal, to be honest. So I think it's going to go to the wire, that one. But, yeah, with us, you know, it is. It's all eggs in one basket. It has been for a few weeks now. I think those dropped points in time added on over the last couple of weeks has just killed us, to be honest, and been really disappointing. So now, yeah, it's all, everything points towards Thursday, and the be all and end all of the season, to be honest.
You're saying then, we will be coming on to it, unfortunately, soon, about late goals being conceded. I mean, do you think, sort of, because I remember back to Martin O'Neill, very much a sort of Conte-style manager. You know, I think he got ants in his pants most matches. But he would not have been standing for that. You know, he said, you're out there and you are dying. I mean, remember the 3-3 against Arsenal? And three of those goals were scored after the 90th minute. Yeah. I couldn't see him letting that happen more than once.
No, I can say it's difficult to know what you would do because, as I touched on before, I think last week, you know, he contradicts himself. He talks about controlling the ball and you control the game, and then he makes substitutions to bring more defenders on, which means you just invite pressure. Mm. You know, the best form of attack is defense is attack. So you keep the ball away from your goal, but disappointing, and that's probably one of those occasions where you want to see him on the sidelines bollocking players, you know, just telling them what to do, not take liberties, not take chances. You know, at some point in a game, you have to accept that a point's not a bad result. Just take what you've got and go home again. But yeah, disappointing.
Now, this is the second game we've played Tottenham this season, and I'm sorry, Craig. We're going to have to talk about it. I mean, it was on. Well, I was watching it on telly, and at 2-1, because I have I wasn't doing
you,
a watch.
You can stop leaning forward, Simon. It's, you know,
yes, yes.
Calm down.
He's like, you know, Top Gear when they're announcing the time, and all the celebrities sit forward. But I'd actually stopped watching it at 2-1, and I'd come in here because I've got the website and the Facebook and the Twitter all to update. I thought, well, I'll make a start on it so that, you know, when the whistle goes, and then I could just hear cheering. And I literally just updated my site to say and everything to say 2-1, and this happened, and I could not believe it. Victor Mudd, do not believe it. I mean, Simon, talk us through that from the Spurs. I mean, I don't know if you were there or not, but I don't necessarily know that you were. But I don't know if you watched it. But talk us through that and how that must have felt.
Oh, unbelievable, Chris. Seriously, we're down and out. We're down and out when he done the sub. It was a sub that Conte thought that, you know what, it could change the game here. And Bergwijn, this is what Bergwijn can do. He can have a game like this. He can just change a game, and he have a game the next game, and he can be ineffective. Do you know what I mean? But it was just crazy scenes, Chris. That's all I can say, mate. It was just crazy. Seriously, I thought, that's it. Game over. I mean, I'm seeing the last minute. Then we got the equaliser, and then literally straight back down the other end, and we literally just got the third. Okay, could I say a bit of handball in the with the first goal or the second goal? It was one. I cannot remember. Chris, unbelievable scenes. It was just crazy, crazy scenes, telling you. And that was, I think that was the turning point of, because we was going through a bad run then. And I think that was a turning point of us kick-starting this top four hunt. Yes. And we went on to, after this, I think 9 or 10 games, unbeaten, winning the 8 of them. So that did really kick us on.
I mean, Craig, I mean, I don't think I've ever felt much worse after a loss. You lose a game and you accept it's football, and you're going to lose games. That's what it's all about. But to lose it in that, I mean, I think it's another record we've got, because I don't think anybody sort of conceded two goals that late in the game ever before. I mean, I'm presuming you were at the match. I mean, how did the crowd react?
I was. I think you would expect more of a negative reaction, but I think everybody was just in shock. You know, that the winning goal, it was like somebody had just paused the video and then put it on slow forward. That the ball rolled over that line so slowly. It was unbelievable. Yeah, I think everybody was just in shock. That you just, I was sitting there with my lad, and you just looked at each other, and it's just like, couldn't believe what you've actually seen. And to be fair, fair play to us for bouncing back from that as well, and going on, you know, probably a fairly decent run ourselves since then. But yeah, it was an absolute shocker, and unfortunately, it'll live long in the memory.
Do you think that Leicester players know or have heard the phrase like just run it into the corner or put it into
Rose's head? We tried doing that against Newcastle, and where did that get us?
Well, yeah, that's a good point. We can't win, can we? You know, no. We can't win, but
we can let a goal in from anywhere.
This is very true. You know, we've cut out letting a goal in from corners. Now, yeah. I mean, I saw 5 minutes come up yesterday, and I'm thinking like, oh, here we go. Not again, please, not again. TM said it felt brilliant. I bet it did. We'll let you have that one, TM. You take enough stick in here. We'll let you have that one. And hello to Jake as well. Jake. How the devil are you? Welcome along. Not seen you before, Jake, so I'm guessing you might be a Spurs fan.
He's Liverpool.
Liverpool, is he? Well, come on, Jake, you can do this. We want you to win the league. I just have interest because I got asked this the other day, and if you watch the prediction shows, you know Steve Lynx doesn't like Tottenham and he doesn't like Arsenal. You know, and if they were playing Nottingham Forest, he would go for Nottingham Forest over Arsenal or Tottenham. And I actually got asked which one I hated most. And I did actually plump for Man United. Out the two, I went for Man United. But, Craig, I mean, if it was Arsenal or Tottenham, and obviously this is a big thing for you. Let's come to you first, Simon, because it's a big rivalry. Finishing fourth and not letting Arsenal get it. Is that almost as good as winning the league for you?
No, it's not.
How would he know? Look how old
he is. Hey!
Yeah, Craig's right there. Absolutely. I don't know what it looks, it feels like, but no, finish above Arsenal is not it's not our trophy in the season. You know what I mean? It's nice to keep them shut up. I mean, we like just the neighbours down the road to keep them quiet, but that's our goal, is to win trophies, and that is it. You know what I mean? And even finishing the top four, you know what I mean, it's nice to finish in the top four, but it's not a trophy. You know what I mean? I like us to go into, because it's not worth going to the Champions League if you're not going to compete. If you're not going to compete in the Champions, what's the worth going in it? You know, at the end of the day, I'd rather stay out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So to me, nah, it's definitely it's trophies over finishing above Arsenal. I don't care at the end of the day.
He says that, but I bet deep down he really does, you know.
Craig, well, we've done it for the last 6 years, so it's getting boring now. So
I'm not going to argue with you at all, Craig. If you just did it for a bit of fun here, if you had to pick who you'd want to finish fourth, Tottenham, Arsenal, or Man United?
Oh, Jesus!
And then, who you'd want and who you think?
This is like, it's like deciding which of your kids to sell.
Yeah. Oh, no, that'd be easy. That would be easy.
To be honest, as it stands at the moment, maybe I think that there's reasons to go for each. I quite like the way that Arsenal have gone about their business this season, you know, blooding a lot of kids. So I like that, but I don't like Arteta. I'm not a big fan of
Arteta. Oh, you'll get on well with the Arsenal fans then, won't you?
Yes, I hate him.
I'm not a big fan of some of the Spurs players, but I really like the manager, you know. And so that's...
I wonder which nothing, ones.
There's nothing to like about Man U, so...
No, that's true.
Yeah, to be honest, I'm happy if it's either Spurs or Arsenal and Man United just finished languishing somewhere. I'd love Man U to be in the Conference League. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, that would be. I mean, talking of the Conference League, Simon, you know, it's no secret that you got kicked out of it. In a way, that's kind of helped. I mean, Arsenal are having a great season because I think they didn't have Europe to worry about. You know, they were out the FA Cup quite early. Don't know how. I don't think they went far in the League Cup. And they say they didn't have Europe to worry about. And just once they got, you know, past the pointless three games, whatever it was at the start, it helped them. And I think that's probably helped you as well. I know, right, you didn't go out the best way, and we know you weren't so keen on the competition, but I think it's helped you not being in Europe, hasn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what Craig said there. Arsenal have done great with their youngsters this year. I mean, and Arteta has believed in these youngsters, and they've done well for not having Europe as well. And Chris, I wasn't a big fan of this Conference League. I mean, but I like to, but we should have took it more serious, and I don't think we took it serious enough. I mean, going out to that team I never heard of. I mean, I don't think you guys have heard of it. I've never heard of them. It's embarrassing.
I'd never heard of Tottenham, to be honest with you. You walked into that one.
I mean, so, but at the end of the day, I would rather Spurs gone on and done what Leicester's done. I mean, it's gone as far as we can. I mean, at the end of the day, because there's no guarantee we're going to finish in the top four, and there's no guarantees we're going to finish fifth or sixth. It doesn't matter. These last five games, but me, I would like to see us give it a real good go. I don't think we did in the end.
I was going to say because you mentioned before that, you know, finishing top four isn't a trophy, and you've probably answered it just there. I was going to ask you, would you trade finishing top four for winning the Conference League and a trophy?
Absolutely, yeah, it's a trophy. Yeah. We haven't won a trophy since 2008, and that was a league, and that was a League Cup.
14 years ago.
14 years
I can give you, I can tell you exactly if you want to know.
Yeah, we know how long it is now, Chris. I would have more been happy just go on the winning trophy. Yeah.
I heard that idiot Gabby Bonlahor on Talk Sport talking, decrying the Conference League again. And I think Alan Brazil asked him and said, you know, would you be happy if it was Villa in that position? And he was just basically saying no. He said if it was the Europa League, then yes. But then he goes on to say that he didn't think that the players would celebrate if they won it because it's a third rate. So, I mean, what an absolute idiot. And Bert, you know, on the flip side, I'm sure if Villa or any team needed to win their last game of the season to finish sixth and get in the Europa League, they'd celebrate.
Yeah.
If you win the Conference League, you get in the Europa League. So you'd celebrate. It's absolute idiot. I don't know why they keep putting these people on.
I honestly think with you, I mean, I think a lot of it with certainly with me when they brought this out was the fact that it was called the Conference.
Yeah.
Because obviously we've got that in mind, you know, as being sort of, you know, the first tier of part-time football. And I think as well the fact that they've tagged it onto the Europa League, so it's the Europa Conference, so it doesn't feel like it's a major trophy in its own right. You know, everything about it, it's the music's almost the same. It's just green lines instead of orange lines. You know, I don't know why they've just done it as a tag on like that. Give it its own identity. But I tell you what, I honestly think that at the moment there would be 16 other teams in that Premier League that would swap places with us. I think even Man United, and they said, oh, well, if we're in it next season, we'll use it to blood the kids and all this. Like, yeah, that's just an excuse in case you don't win it, you know. I really want us to win it and be the first name on that trophy.
I mean, when you look at it, you could argue that the teams that have been left in the Conference League are bigger than the teams in the Europa League.
Yeah,
I mean Marseille, absolutely massive.
Marseille
club
finals.
Marseille, massive. Roma, what 70,000 seat stadium that's going to be packed out? Apparently bigger sold out within an hour.
I think I was looking, and apart from, and I'll say because I love saying it, blood glimpsed. Apart from them in the quarterfinals, including ourselves, all the seven other teams had been in the Champions League within the last 10, 12 years.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're not talking minnows, you know, but we digress, we get off there. But yeah, I mean, I think, as I said, there's a lot of teams, and I think even Spurs, Arsenal would love to be in our position right now. But so just say this is our record against Spurs. It's a lot closer than I actually thought it was going to be. So this is sort of the number of games that we've played head to head in the Premier League only. 31 times we've played each other. 14 wins for Spurs, 12 for us. Now, Spurs have won 7 at home, and we've only won 5 away, and 5 of them have been draws. Tottenham are going to have to really go all out. This is an important game for Tottenham, isn't it? We've said for Leicester, you know, it's a bit of a free hit, and we don't really mind what we do, but, you know, looking at Tottenham's position, you're fifth now. He says desperately trying to get the Premier League table up and realizing I haven't got it up. Arsenal are playing Brighton, is it?
West Ham away.
I think Craig said earlier they're in the same position as us. If you don't get 3 points tomorrow,
but still, Chris, I was speaking to someone at work about this today. You know what I mean? He's an Arsenal fan. West Ham, this is die over the weekend. But tell you now, it's a London derby. And Moyes will have these players pumped, Fliz. Mm. Doesn't matter what happens against Frankfurt. There will be some probably players rested for during the week. But don't, seriously, it's a London derby and Moyes will have these pumped. And I think the players like Antonio, Rice and Nobles, they know what it's like to play against Arsenal. And I think they'll take away what's going to go on next week. I think they'll just focus on this game. And I think it'll be a hard game for Arsenal. Going to West Ham, full stadium. The West Ham fans will want West Ham to turn up. So to me, I don't think it's going to be an easy run what these fans are putting out. I think West Ham... Do you know what? I think West Ham away is probably harder than we're playing you at home, me personally.
Yeah. Sorry, that... I've told Brendan not to ring me when I'm on a show, but he keeps insisting on doing it.
I mean, it'd be interesting. Just before you touch on our fixtures and Spurs there, I was just looking at the fixtures that you both got coming up, Arsenal and Spurs, to the end of the season. And they're both fairly similar. Obviously, you've got each other in the middle of it, but then you've got a couple of teams who are battling for their lives. I think you've got Burnley and they've got Arsenal, or the other way around.
I want Arsenal to come in to the last game of the season because they've got Everton at home and we've got Norwich away. Because Everton, could be down. They need to win that to stay in the Premier League. And Norwich will already be down. Okay, we've been here before. We should be beating teams like Norwich, but I will favour us our game against Norwich and their games against Everton. So we don't know how it's going to pan out.
No,
till now to the end of the season.
I was going to say that's the form at the moment. You're in fifth, we're in tenth. Again, it shows there the last two games against you, we haven't done so well. Remember that one last season again, we needed to win. Talk us through our run there, Craig. It's a bit mixed, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you could look at those and say that we probably should have won all of them. You know, I think if we'd have really gone at Man United, I think we could have beaten them. I think we had one eye on Europe again. Palace, obviously, we put in a decent performance. Newcastle, we should have at least got a draw out of that, another late winner. Everton, we should have beat as well, and Villa, we should have beat. So whilst not hitting really top form, We've been in positions in most of those games where we could have easily won them all. Yes, it's frustrating to give late goals away, but it's even more frustrating if you're never in a position to win it. So overall, I think our form has been pretty decent. And it's no surprise, as we've got more players back and we look more solid at the back, that our fortunes have changed a little bit. We've just lacked that cutting edge up front, that killer instinct up front.
I mean, you were there for the Villa game. At least you had somebody to talk to with Scott. I mean, I did a watch along for that game and I was on my own. It's the first one I've done this season where I didn't have a co-host with me, because I usually do the watch alongs with a fan as Sam was saying, of the other team. My God, I'm not blowing my own trumpet, but I deserve a medal that I could actually find something to talk about for 90 minutes during that game. Simon, talk us through you. I mean, you beat West Ham. You absolutely slaughtered Newcastle. Same with Villa. And then you went and lost to Brighton and only drew with Brentford. That kind of sums your season up, doesn't it?
That's why we call Spursy, Chris. That is as typical Spurs. Seriously. I mean, beating West Ham comfortably, that could have been more. 5-6, that could have been. I mean, Newcastle, that could have been more as well. I mean, Aston Villa, we rode our luck in the first half. We got the goal early. Villa could have been 2 or 3 up at half-time, but we come out the second half, we absolutely steamrolled them. That could have been, and as I said, a couple more. Then I think we overconfident, gone into the Brighton game, thinking we just got to turn up here and we'll beat Brighton. And they caught us off guard, I'm telling you, how well Graham Potter, he sets up. Like, he doesn't really set up as a low block, but he knows Spurs struggle to beat down a low block, and he did. He set up that way. And he hit us on the break and he got the goal. You know what I mean? And Brentford away, oh, Jesus Christ, how in the hell we didn't win that game with the chances we had in the last 20 minutes. But that's the Spursy, Chris. And until Conte whips that out of the players, it'll keep them coming. You know what I mean? So,
I mean, just on that, I mean, it's been a criticism has been put at Conte that there is no plan B. Is that fair criticism?
Yeah, you can say that, Craig. Yeah, and with other managers, I have seen a plan B when the game's not going right, and that is correct. I think the way Conte plays is literally just bomb to go at teams and try and get a goal. And he hasn't got when we're struggling to trying to break down a team. I am struggling to see if he has got a plan B. I don't think he has. But saying that, Craig, I don't think he's looking at the bench. He's looking at, I see him like with his eyes like that either side. Who have I got coming on? He hasn't got players to come off the bench, Craig. That's the problem.
But it looks like if the opposition give you space in behind, then you're perfectly capable of exploiting it.
Absolutely.
The way that Kane drops deep into a 10. You know, he's probably England's best number 10, you know, this season. And then you've got runners going from out to in, you know, exploiting the space that's been left behind when Kane drops deep and the defenders drop with him. Obviously, with Brighton, they didn't send their defenders with Kane. They just put someone in front of him to stop the ball getting into his feet. So from that perspective, I think part of me thinks that the fact that we're going to make a lot of changes may not help you, because I don't think that we'll push up and have such a high line. And we'll probably sit in a little bit more.
Yeah,
so
this is the problem,
so it could be a bit of a grind out game, to be honest.
I think you're right there, Craig. I think Brendan will probably say Spurs struggle to beat a low block. And I think that's why I think Brendan's going to come. I think Brendan's going to stick. Maybe you go with a back three. I don't know how you guys set up. But I think he'll make it difficult for us. And I think teams know if they can mark Kane out the game, you're marking Tottenham out the game. It's as simple as that. Everything goes through Kane.
Even with Son, if Son's playing.
I think Son is a good player, but Kane is still my world-class player at Tottenham. You know what I mean? That guy can just change.
Kane feeds Son so much.
So much. Craig, that's it.
If you block Kane out of the game, you know, the supply line to Son is sort of really stifled.
And this is what with the Spurs fan base at the minute, it's all Son. He's the man with the goals and things like that. But forget who's feeding these goals. It's Kane when he drops deep into the 10. Without Kane's assist, Son's not getting his goals. And that's where it dries up. And other teams do actually say, block Kane out of the team. Block Kane out of the game. That's it, Spurs. That's it. You've done. You've done your homework. And I think that's how Brighton have got their 3 points. Brentford as well. They've done their homework. And you're right, Craig. I don't think if we... Teams mark Kane out of game, we haven't got a plan B. We haven't just got that plan B to go another direction to win and to win games. But I think going forward, Craig, I think hopefully he can get the players he wants, because he hasn't got it on the bench at the minute. He's looking at seriously. That's why it's taken him 82 minutes to make subs at the minute, because he doesn't trust these players on the bench. to come on and win this game. So until the summer now, he can hope he can manage what he's got at the minute.
I think you've got I think you've got a lot of workmanlike players. I think it's fair to say that people who will run and are solid. I don't think you've got that flair player who can beat someone. Again, is that fair, do you think?
Yeah, we've Kulusevski, since he's coming from Juventus, he's done wonders, absolutely wonders. He's come in 6 assists, 7 assists, and I think about 6 goals. So he's paid off. Bentancur, hot and cold for me at the minute. He has a good game, has a bad game. Since Doherty has been injured, I have literally been his biggest cricket of the season. I can't stand the guy, but he, over the last 5 games, he has improved massively. And he was getting into that rhythm, what he was at Wolves, then he got that injury. And that really, because Emerson, it's not, he's absolutely toilet, that guy, seriously. And same as Regs. Regs started well at Tottenham. I think he's Madrid. I think he's got Madrid head. I think he just wants to go back to Real. And I've you're right, Chris. Craig, sorry. We're missing someone like an Eriksen. I mean, he showed against Brendan. I mean, every time he got the ball, I think we missed that kind of player at the minute. Like an Eriksen type player.
You just broke up a little bit. I mean, there's rumours as to whether he's going to come back to you at the end of the season. Even we've been linked with him. I have a sneaky feeling he might stay where he is, but we will see. But just looking here, Tottenham, it says, will be without left wing-back Sergio Reguilón. He has a groin problem. And Doherty skip. And Tanganga? Sounds like Tanganga. A Bond villain, that, doesn't it? Ah, Mr. Tanganga. I've been expecting you.
This guy's had his knee injury for so long. I haven't got a clue what's happened with this guy at the minute. But even him, Chris, he's not a player like, I would say, like, he needs to be sold on. I mean, there's loads of players in there.
Oh, they're all the ones that I should say could be out. How do you see yourself? What do you sort of just quickly run through how you think you'll set up and a lineup, and then I'll ask Craig the same. Because you'll need thinking time because we're going to make so many changes, I'm guessing.
Yeah, obviously it'll be Hugo in goal. I think he'll go with a 3-4-3. He'll go with Romero, Dyer and Davies. He's going to go with Emerson flying down the right. And down the left, obviously, there's no Regs. He may go with Session. Is Session? He come off the last game with he picked up a bit of a minor injury. If he's fit, I'll put Session there. Then you got Bentancur and Pierre doing the holding roles in there. And you got the front three of Kane, Son, and Kulusevski. And just hoping that front three click on Sunday like they have against Villa, Newcastle and Leeds. So we're just hoping, we're putting our hopes now on these three just to get us over the line, Chris.
Craig, we're going to make a lot of changes, I can imagine. Oh. I am praying, please, Brendan, look at Kieran Dewsbury-Hall, Tielemans and Maddison. And just give, it seems to be quite happy to change everything else, but those three players, and they are looking knackered. And, you know, he's picking Tielemans because he can't have Mendy, obviously, because he's not in the squad for Europe. So Tielemans is out of position and he's not having an effect on the game like he does in his normal role. Yeah. What do you see him going for?
I think that the back four will be changed again, to be honest. I think the only one you may still see would be James Justin at right back, with Castagna going off injured and resting Ricardo. I think it'll be Amati and Soyuncu as the back two, and then Luke Thomas coming in. Mendy will come in front. I think he'll still play Tielemans and Dewsbury-Hall because he talks about them being rhythm players, you know, that they need to be playing. So it wouldn't surprise me if he plays both of them. I agree. They could both do with just maybe half a game just to keep them ticking over. And then up front, I would imagine that Barnes will play. Maybe Perez. And then it'll be a choice of either Dakar or Iheanacho. So I think there'll be at least seven changes, if not more.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I'm sorry to sort of be the bearer of bad news, but I can't get away from it. I have to share this with you. The man in the middle, Jonathan Moss. I mean, is he anybody's favourite referee?
Well, I don't think he's anybody's favourite, but I there's worse ones. I know that sounds bizarre, but there are worse.
Refereeing has been atrocious this season, me personally.
It was interesting because, again, we've seen quite a bit of probably more European football than you've seen this season, Simon.
Bang, get in there, Craig.
No, it wasn't having a go. It was the difference between continental refereeing and Premier League refereeing. Now, a lot of people were having a go at the referee last night, saying that he wasn't very good or whatever. And there was definitely two or three cards that should have been dished out. I mean, how Chris Smalling didn't get a card for scything down Dewsbury Hall, I don't know. But he let a lot go, you know, and as someone who's a bit older, I quite like that rather than this modern day refereeing that we seem to have in the Premier League where it only takes a little touch on somebody's back and they go down and get a free kick. And I think I think part of that is people saying that the referee wasn't at it last night is that we've become desensitized. We're so used now to everything being a free kick. That when you see a continental ref let things go, it seems like he's not got control of the game. But for me, the refereeing over the past few years has just gone down and down in the Premier League. To me, it's just at an all-time low.
And I think the problem is that what they've brought in to help the referees, because they can't do the job, so they brought this VAR in, is actually being monitored and run by the referees that they were brought in to sort of help. So
yeah.
I just think it's a right cock-up. It's a typical FA sort of thing. I think Samari is fit, is he not, Craig? I think he's on his way back, if not.
Samari, yeah, I think he is. He was on the bench last night. So he could, to be fair, he could feature. And to be honest, now's the time to be featuring him, see what he's got, you know, see if there's anything about him. So it's not a bad shout to drop him in there. And as I say, maybe give Tielemans and KDH a bit of a rest.
It won't happen, though. some match facts just to end on. A couple for Tottenham, a couple for Leicester. This one we've already alluded to. Striker Harry Kane has scored 18 goals in 17 appearances against Leicester City in all competitions, more than he has scored against any other opponent in his career. 16 of these goals have come in the Premier League, with only Alan Shearer getting more against a single opponent in the competition, 20 against Leeds. He may have done that, Simon, but he hasn't got any trophies yet, has he? He hasn't got any medals.
Yeah, it's the biggest cricket of Kane's career at the minute. He hasn't got no trophies.
How old is Kane now?
He's come up 29.
29. And Craig, how old is Luke Thomas?
I think he's 20 now, I think.
20, and how many medals has he got?
It's unfair to say, really, isn't it?
No. Sorry, Simon. You know I banter. You know I banter. Let's be honest with you. We'd all have Kane in our team if we could afford him. You know, let's be honest.
Absolutely.
And to be said, if he's in somebody else's team, he might win a medal. Anyway, the Leicester City, the Foxes won this exact fixture 2-0 last season. Their last won consecutive away league contest against Spurs in October 1999. Now then, that needs changing, doesn't it, Craig?
It does, although I did see us winning the FA Cup there a few seasons ago with a late winner when Martin Vorm threw one in. That was a pleasurable, but I think we definitely, I can say I definitely take the draw now, to be honest.
Definitely. The Spurs have won 7 of their last 10 Premier League matches against Leicester, losing 3, as many as they had to their previous 21 against them in the competition. It's not sounding good again, is it, Craig?
But again, the big thing is this season, do we care?
Yeah, yes. I'm going to read them out whether you care or not, to be honest with you. You know, I've got a minute to fill, so I'm going to fill it. Since their return to the Premier League in 2014, Leicester have conceded more league goals against Spurs than they have against any other side. So not just Harry Kane. Even if you don't get Harry Kane in their side, you still score against us. You know. Spurs' 36 goals against Leicester is also the most they've scored against an opponent in that time. I tell you what, Simon, here's the deal. We'll kick off. We'll let you get a goal early on, and we'll call the match off, and then we can have a bit of a rest before Thursday. You're going to get the 3 points. We might as well just go right here. Go have the 3 points. We'll go. We'll have a bit of a weekend off. That'd be nice.
But. But that's all Spurs do over the last 5 or 6 seasons is break records instead of winning trophies. That's all we're hearing. We've got more records than the record shop, seriously.
That's why you got a new trophy cabinet, isn't it?
Yeah.
Talking of 45s, isn't that when last you won something?
Oh dear Jesus.
Craig, you are on form. That's about 3 or 4 you've got in there today. Yeah, you're better Mike Tyson here, aren't you? Getting those jabs in.
I know, I can do it. You know, they'll win something sooner or later. We know it.
The thing is, what you know is that, you know, Simon don't come back at you because, you know, you're the older statesman and he respects you, you know.
To be fair to you, Simon, it's nice to hear a Spurs fan who has actually got his feet on the ground and isn't sort of deluded and can see what they need and the fact that it is about trying to win trophies and not records. So fair play to you, Simon.
It is, Craig. I've been saying for ages. I go on to other channels and they always blast it down. I mean, all the time. I mean, and it is trophies. We haven't won one. I was said 14 years now, Chris. Yeah. We haven't won one, and it's getting, the longer it goes on, it's so depressing. Seriously, I'm not doing disrespectful. Leicester won the FA Cup last season, won the Premier League in 2015-16. You know what I mean, to having you guys winning the Premier League before us, I'm saying you guys, what a season you had there, but it's a joke. It's a joke.
That was your year, though. If ever you were going to win it, it was that year.
That's what I'm saying. Then, just season after season after that, just we haven't been the same, and we haven't come closer with nothing really.
No. I'm going to admit this, and I'll never repeat this again. So make the most of it. I actually said about Arsenal about five weeks ago, I said fourth place was Arsenal's to lose, and I think they have, to be honest with you. And I, if it's Arsenal or Tottenham, I'm going to have to say I probably would sooner want Tottenham to get it, in fairness. So good luck with that after Sunday, you know. But talking about winning it, score predictions. Now, I've had to go for a Leicester win because but then again, this is why I'm bottom of this prediction league. Miles off. I'm the Norwich of this prediction league. But I've gone 2-1. Ian Marshall's gone 1-1, as indeed has Steve Walsh. Jerry Taggart's has gone 2-0. Steve Lynott's has gone 4-0 to Leicester, but that's only just because he can't stand Tottenham and Arsenal in any form. And Ian Wilson thinks he's going to earn another goal fest, but 3-2 to you. Craig, I'll come to you first. I mean, I've put 2-1 there, but if I take my blue-tinted spectacles off... if it's 1-1, I would take that. But how do you see it ending up?
I'd be very happy with a 1-1. I'm going to go 1-1. So, and that is definitely heart rather than head. You know, if you're asking me to put money on it, then I can't see anything other than a Spurs victory. But that pains me too much to say it, so I'll go 1-1.
Yeah. TM, I'm sure you won't let me forget it. I know you won't. And she's gone for 2-1. That's to Spurs, I'm guessing. Tighter than last time. And Rennie's going 2-1 to Spurs. Right, I'm sorry, but Conti wrote, obviously concentrate on the second leg. Simon, your prediction?
Well, the pressure is on us. Oh, ain't the pressure on you guys. You guys got nothing really, not just better in the league, you've got nothing to go for, have you? It's just literally everything's in this basket for the Europa League, for this Conference League you're in. But the pressure we can put on Arsenal, because we play first, it's massive. We've really, really got to just mount this pressure on Arsenal. And I think we will. I don't think it'll be a battering. I think it'll be tight. I think I fancy you guys probably going in ahead first and wakes us up. And I think we'll go ahead and just end the game 2-1, Chris. I think it really is going to be a tight game. And put pressure on Arsenal, and they will have to go to West Ham. They have to win because of our goal margin.
It does make a difference, that playing first, doesn't it? I mean, Craig, when we won, and it was us, you know, us versus Tottenham for so many weeks, I think we played first a lot of the time, didn't we?
Yeah,
I think we did, and it was it must have become quite demoralising for Spurs, because as much as players were coming out and saying they were going to catch us, they never really got close enough. I don't think they ever got to within 3 points where, you know, a win would bring you level or whatever. We managed to play first and just stay ahead the whole time.
It's playing catch up is never easy. Yeah. You think, oh God, they've won. It's like the Black Knight. I've often said this, haven't I? Monty Python. Oh, chuck an arm off. He's still carrying on. But there we go, gentlemen. Thank you so much. I'd wish you all the best, Simon, for the weekend. But I can't. It would. I'd be lying, and you know I never lie. Spurs are a good team. but it's great having you on. Like Craig said earlier, you are a sort of a feet on the ground Spurs fan. Tell people you've got a great channel, and it's always a laugh when you're on. Give us information. I mean, the links are in the description below on YouTube, but tell people where they can find you.
Yeah, Chris, as I said, thanks for having me on. Craig, it's nice to be seeing you again, mate. I don't know if you remember being on the stream with me last time. I
think he obviously did, because he didn't know who you were at the start, did he?
He looks so young, and I'm used to just hanging around with old blokes.
I'm nearly 40, so I'm not young.
that's young.
So thanks, guys, for having me on. And if you want to come over to me and Matt at Premier Hotspur TV, we don't really, we haven't got much things going on lately. Really busy at work. So is Matt. So we do one whenever we can. So it's on every platform, Premier Hotspur TV. And we just do match reviews now at the minute and predictions and things like that. So it's very limited on our channel at the minute until we can have some spare time to get up and going again.
No, Paul. Well, like I say, good luck. Thanks for coming on. I don't wish you well for tomorrow, but good luck in getting tomorrow. Fourth place. Sorry?
Sunday, you mean?
Oh, did I say tomorrow? Sorry, Sunday. We'll play tomorrow. We might win then. That's my master plan. You turn up a day early and you're not there, we'll just kick off without you. So we'll win 1-0.
Are you going, Simon?
No, unfortunately, because I live up north. And so I don't get too many games, so unfortunately. But it's not on Sky, so I'll try and watch it somehow at work, somehow on some dodgy channel.
Exactly. Brilliant. Thanks for coming on, Simon. It's always a pleasure. Take care, mate, and good luck for the rest of the season.
Cheers, Simon.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks. Craig, as always, it's a pleasure. Thank you very much for coming on. My wise old sensible owl. You look good. Just very, very, very quickly, next Thursday, because I probably won't be doing a full review show, because it's only a week apart. We might just do sort of a nod half an hour or something. But am I being silly feeling overconfident? Well, not overconfident. No, I don't ever say that. Not overconfident. But am I feeling just feeling confident that we could get something?
No, because I'm confident. I said beforehand, you know, if we went there level, I didn't think that it was a bad result if we ended up drawing. As long as we didn't go into the second leg behind was my concern, because we know Italian teams are very good at shutting up shop. Yeah. The fact that they've got to come out and score. The big thing will be how we deal with that pressure, how we deal with that environment. You know, players come out and say that they want to go to big teams and they want to play in these games. Well, now's your opportunity. You know, 60, 70,000 screaming Romans. They reckon, as I say, that game sold out within an hour, full house, and they reckon they could have filled it, you know, 2-3 times over. So it's only the British press that decry this competition. They're up for it. So our players have got to show that they're players who deserve to be playing at that level. You know, there's no better stage. This is going to be a bigger game than the final in many ways, because it's going to be a bigger crowd, that's for sure. We are literally going into the lion's den. But I'm confident. I know that if we get the ball down and play our football, what we will have to do is be a little bit cuter and be a little bit stronger. I think there was areas of the pitch that we were bullied a little bit. And you know that you're not going to get away with that as the away team in Italy. So, but no.
I don't think it is. I think it's
a different referee, to be honest.
It's weird. I agreed with you. We did let a lot go, and I was literally just praising him when he went and gave one of our guys, I can't remember who it was now, a yellow card. I'm like, that shook me up. But he did let Roma get away with a lot, and then just seemed to book a Leicester player for nothing. And I know PSV Stadium isn't Rome State, you know, Roma Stadium. Obviously, Roma, it's the national stadium, it's Lazio Stadium, and it's their stadium, but it's kind of got them, because I mean it was noisy and it was a full house, and it maybe just gave them a taste of what they might be getting.
Yeah, definitely. And the crowd were a lot closer to the pitch at PSV than there will be at the Olympic Stadium. You know, that's going to have it's got a running track around it still, so even though it's a big crowd, it's a big stadium to fill. It's, you know, it's like playing away at the at West Ham, where the fans are not on top of you. So, but as I say, you know, if you want to be a top player, then these are the games that you want to play in, and you want to show off and show what you can do. Put yourself in a shop window if that's what certain players want to do. But at the end of it, you don't get many opportunities to win trophies and to get into finals, whatever competition it is. So,
Europeans, obviously. You're not in that all the time. I mean, the FA Cup and League Cup, you always got, you know, you're always in it, so you've got a chance.
And Brendan will be telling them, you know, he said from very early on, when they realised that we were going to be playing in this competition, it's the inaugural competition. You're the first name on this trophy, so that's a bit of a coup. You know, in years to come, this may be looked on as a major trophy again, you know, like it used to be when there were three European trophies, the Cup Winners' Cup and the UEFA Cup and the European Cup. So to be the first name on the trophy.
Don't forget the Intertoto.
Yes, of course. And, you know, but being the first name on the trophy gives me a quiz question for many years to come.
It does. And to be honest with you, I would take that. And as I said, I don't care what they say. Those are the clubs that aren't there. We'll be wishing they were us, and I tell you what, West Ham will be wishing they were us as well. I couldn't believe it was like 2 minutes, and it was like, well, no, not even 2 minutes. I think it was like 1 minute, five seconds. It was unbelievable. But good luck to West Ham, Liverpool and Man City next week. It would be great to have three English names on all three trophies. Craig, I'll let you go, sir. Thank you so much for coming on, as always. I really do appreciate it. And I will see. We've got a quiz, I think, next week, haven't we?
We have on Wednesday, I think.
On Wednesday, again, for Aston Villa. Like I said, I don't think we'll be doing a full preview for the Roma match. So I will see you if you are free in a week's time for the Everton again.
Yeah, I shall let you know. I should be, but anyway, I'll see you on Wednesday. I'll see you, everyone who tunes in, hopefully on Wednesday for another good quiz.
Yep, not a problem. We nearly got everybody. We've nearly got everybody. Thanks very much, Craig. You're welcome. To all your family. Take care and have a great weekend.
Thanks, Chris. Cheers, everyone. Cheers. Bye.
Thank you. Thanks to Craig there. Couldn't do this without him. Absolutely brilliant. I am off to join... who am I joining? Dan on Turf Moor House TV for his prediction show at 9 o'clock. I'm equal with Kate. I think she's going to take over me. I tell you what, I think she might have had a good week. Turf Moor House TV, search it, find it. Sub, he's a great lad, Dan. Give him your support. And, yeah, no problem, Craig. Thank you very much. And catch you over there at 9 o'clock, and I will see you there. Take care. Here's to 3 points. I know it's unlikely. And to be honest with you, would I lose 3 points to beat Roma? Of course I bloody would, you know. Of course I'd like to win both, but if it had to be one, it has to be that one, obviously. Thanks very much, guys. If you've been listening on your favourite podcast platform, whichever that is, we're on all the main ones, Google, Amazon, iTunes and Spotify, and we're on a lot of the other ones as well. Just search Leicester search Leicester Till I Die. And please, if you are on YouTube, Leicester Till I Die TV, smash the likes for us, set the notification bell once you have subscribed. And if you can subscribe, that would be great. It really does help support the channel. I'll see you at 9 o'clock. Take care. Thanks to everybody that was in the chat, and thanks to everybody that's been watching and listening. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Thanks for watching Leicester Till I Die. This is Chris saying goodbye, and see you next time.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Network.